Thank you, Dave, and good morning to you. I hope that you're having a good day so far. It's a blessing to have the freedoms that we do, to be able to gather like this. I trust that we will never take it for granted, that while we meet here together in comfort and freedom, there are those around the world who are gathering in secret. There are those around the world who, because they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and stand for Him, they are suffering in prison. They are suffering deprivation. They're going through many things that we can hardly even imagine. And that's a daily experience for many of our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, because they have not been privileged to live in a free nation like we have. I trust that we will thank God for that, as we already have this morning. We're thankful for those who have been willing to suffer that we can be free in this country. We think about the freedom that we enjoy. We know that we trace our history back to a war for independence, a war of revolution. And that Revolutionary War, lasting from 1775 to 1783, provided true independence for the 13 colonies, become 13 states, independent from Great Britain as the United States of America. But that war ending in 1783, the treaty being signed, the freedom being granted and recognized, did not mean the total end of aggression and trouble from our enemy. And if you know your history, you know that it was not too many years later, as we fought the War of 1812 against Great Britain. Yes, that independence did not mean that there would be no more aggression from the enemy. And the fact that we are free today obviously does not mean that as a nation we are totally free of enmity. In fact, we probably have more enemies because of our freedom. Now, if you're here this morning as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are saved, if you're born again on your way to heaven, then you know that you also are in a warfare, spiritually speaking. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to begin in chapter 6 briefly before we go to chapter 4. But in chapter 6, we've been reminded in recent months of the warfare that we do experience as Christians. We know very clearly from the Scripture that if we have come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of our sins, if we've come to Him not as a good teacher, not as a good example, not as a good man, but rather as the very Son of God who went to the cross of Calvary and there bore in His own body and on His own soul our sins, our guilt, our transgression, our iniquity, and the punishment for all that we are in enmity against God. And we have recognized Him as the one who was raised from the dead, and God's stamp of approval placed upon His Son's substitutionary work on our behalf. If we have come to the Lord Jesus in simple faith and received Him as Savior, then we have been set free. The Bible makes it very clear, if the Son of God sets you free, you are really free. You are free indeed. How thankful we are for the spiritual freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus. No longer under the control of Satan. No longer in bondage that we once had, but rather we found that one who has satisfied those longings of our hearts that Jordan sang about. And one of those longings is for freedom. And we found that free from sin, free from the punishment that our sins deserve, free from Satan's control, and brought into a relationship with God, and brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the very best of masters. What a blessing to be free. But lest we think that that freedom in the Lord Jesus means that all the problems that we've ever had with our enemy are over, Well, you might say we don't even have to read the Bible. It's there, but really all we have to do is look within our own lives and at our own experience. But look in Ephesians chapter 6, and again be reminded in verses 10 through 12, the real battle that the believer in the Lord Jesus faces. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And verse 13 reminds us, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Satan is the enemy of the believer in the Lord Jesus, and Satan's trickery includes many weapons and attacks. And in recent weeks, we have been considering some of the attacks that affect this local church. And those attacks were not determined by doing a study worldwide. It was not determined by me sitting down and trying to figure out what kind of attacks you're facing, but rather many of you turned in on a 3x5 card a number of months ago anonymously what was the greatest attack that Satan has against you. And we've been looking at some of those. And we've seen that Satan comes in mighty ways against the people of God. And he attacks through doubt. He attacks through fear and anxiety, through lust, through insecurity, and through guilt. And this morning we're going to look at another weapon that Satan often uses. In fact, this particular area of attack was one of the most, if not the most, listed area of all. It's the area of anger. Of anger. Go back with me, if you will, two chapters to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read together, beginning with verse 17. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. Follow along with me, if you will. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Anger. I would like for us this morning to briefly look at four simple truths regarding this attack of Satan against the people of God. A first truth, very simply, is this: victory over your anger is pertinent. Victory over your anger is pertinent. It's relevant to our lives. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1 tell us to whom this particular letter was written. And here's what we read as Paul begins the letter. He identifies himself, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And then he addresses those to whom he is writing. He identifies the addressees. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing this letter to those who have placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. He's writing this letter to those who have been born again, who have been made new in Jesus Christ, who have a relationship with God. The scriptures that we just read in Ephesians chapter 4 are written to believers. Anger might be defined as a strong feeling of hostility resulting from the perception of being wronged, disappointed, or hurt. Anger can show itself in many different ways, some very obvious. You may be here this morning as someone who recognizes a struggle with anger in your own life, or maybe those around you recognize you as a person who struggles with anger, and your anger may be very obvious in its expression. Your facial expression may evidence very clearly the anger that you're experiencing at a particular time. Your body language may demonstrate it. The tone of your voice and the words that come out of your mouth may make very clear to anyone around you that you are angry, that you are experiencing a strong feeling of hostility, that you feel you have been wronged or disappointed or hurt or maybe inconvenienced even. There are others here this morning who are not one of those who would be like the wolf and the three little pigs who would huff and puff and blow your house down. You may not be a huffer and a blower when it comes. You may be a stuffer and a stower. When you have those feelings of hostility, you may stuff them and stow them up within you. But we can be sure that in some manner, they're going to work their way out. Or maybe your struggle with anger is in the home. Maybe you hide it well outside, but in the home, it comes out clearly. Or maybe it's a struggle at work. Or maybe when you're driving down the road and the ever common road rage overtakes you when someone cuts you off or drives foolishly near you. Maybe it's in a time of leisure when you're watching a sporting activity or participating in some game that the anger expresses itself. Maybe it's even in the functioning of the local church with other believers. We read in verse 26 of our text this morning, a command to be angry. Very interesting. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. The anger that he's speaking of there particularly is an anger that is right. In other words, God expects us to be angry at times. If you go to the Old Testament and you read through the Old Testament, and I ask you the question, who is the angriest person in the whole Old Testament? You'd find that it's God Himself. You see, God is angry with the wicked every day. And we read throughout the Old Testament as God interacted with the people of Israel. He said over and over, "You provoke me to anger." And there is such a thing as being angry over things that are unrighteous. But the question is, as we examine our own hearts, and I very just quickly say this, because this is not what we're really dealing with today, but there is an anger that is righteous. But if I get angry about something, before I say, well, I should be angry at that person, I should be angry at that situation, ask yourself, is this something that angers God? Secondly, why am I angry? Am I angry because this offends God? Or am I angry because this offends me? And thirdly, how am I expressing my anger? Is it in a way that would be like the Lord Jesus? The Lord asked Jonah in Jonah chapter 4, is it right for you to be angry? A good question for us to allow the Lord to ask us. Is it right for you to be angry? Victory over your anger is pertinent. Maybe more relevant for some of us than others, but relevant for all. Let me read to you what was on some of the cards that were turned in anonymously. When they had to write down, what is the greatest attack of Satan against you? Anger. Another card, unloving response to people. A third card, trouble forgiving others. A fourth card, evil thoughts. A fifth, anger. Another card, you claim to be a Christian, yet you get angry, upset, or mad easily at work. Another card, evil dreams against other people. Another wrote anonymously, anger. Another wrote, feelings of hate or dislike toward people. On another card were two words, anger, cursing. Another wrote, a critical tongue. And a last one wrote, fighting, anger. It's an issue that often we don't see when we function together as a local assembly in our meetings, but is a real issue as Satan comes against. He is a real enemy, and he knows our weaknesses. Victory over your anger is pertinent. Secondly, victory over your anger is powerful. It's powerful. I want to encourage you with that, because in verses 17 to 19, we see that there needs to be a great contrast in the life of the believer. We should no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, our lives should be different. And so when you were angry, but now you were able to control that wrong anger in a right way, what a testimony to the rest of the Gentiles. What an example to one another. And not only is it powerful in the testimony that it gives before others and the example that it gives before others, what a difference it makes in your own heart, in your own life, the peace that is there, the positive impact on your fellowship with the Lord and the direction and the abundance of your life. An author for the Reader's Digest was writing how he studied the Amish people in preparation for an article he was doing on them. As he observed the children in the schoolyard, he noted that the children never screamed or yelled. And this amazed him, because obviously in most schoolyards there's plenty of yelling and screaming, as well as other things going on. And so he spoke to the schoolmaster and he remarked how he had not once heard an Amish child yell. And he asked the schoolmaster, why do you think that's so? The schoolmaster replied, well, have you ever heard an Amish adult yell? I can't say that that's a scientific study, but it's a very interesting observation that the impact that the parents had on their children. And not only the impact that we can have on our children, but on many other people. And again, the impact that we can have on our own hearts and our own lives as we get control of our anger. Thirdly, victory over your anger is possible. Because some of you are sitting there and you say, you don't know how long I've been angry. You don't know how long I've been trying to have victory over this attack of Satan in my life. You don't know. And I don't know. But I know that victory over your anger is possible. Because in verses 20 to 24, we find that when you come to the Lord Jesus and you confess Him as Savior and you trust Him alone for forgiveness of your sins, you receive Him and are given eternal life, you also are made a new creation. You see, we read there in verse 24 that you have put on the new man. You have put on the new person. And this new being This new person that you have become was created according to God, after the pattern of God Himself in true righteousness and holiness. And you see, now the Spirit of God is living within you. And the Spirit of God is there that He might live out of your life, the very life of the Lord Jesus. Galatians 5, Paul writes there in verses 19 to 23, that great contrast between the works of the flesh, which include contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. And he contrasts that with the fruit, the produce of the Spirit of God living and controlling the life of the believer. And listen to the contrast. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's possible. I want to encourage you with that this morning. No matter how long you have been battling, it is possible. 1 Corinthians 10:13 makes a promise that there is no temptation overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God makes it possible. Yes, it's impossible with you, but Luke 1:37 tells us that with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. That anger that comes within you, that hostility that builds up when you feel that you have been wronged or offended or mistreated or misunderstood, it can be controlled in a way that honors God and that pleases Him. It is possible. Whether you're one who blows it out or you're one who stows it within and it eats you from within, God is able to come and to do that work. And our fourth point is this: victory over your anger is practical. It's practical. Go down with me, if you will, to verse 31 and verse 32 in our passage. It's very practical, and this whole section we read is a very practical part of this letter. And here he tells us to let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, in Christ's sake, forgave you. Both of these verses are given in the imperative. They are commands, and they are spoken specifically to the individual believer. In essence, he is saying, you put off anger and wrath and bitterness, etc. And you, I want you to be kind and compassionate and forgiving. You see, God is putting a responsibility on His people. But it's not a responsibility that He gives us that we have to fulfill in our own power. God would never do that to you. God would never tell you as a believer, do this and not give you the ability to do it. Now, as an unbeliever, that's exactly how God turns us to Himself. He tells you what to do, and then you look at yourself and you say, I can't do it, and therefore you have to turn to God for forgiveness and for new life in the Lord Jesus. But now that you are a new person, now that you have the Spirit of God living within you, God can tell you to do what seems impossible, and you can do it in the power of God. You can do it by the Holy Spirit who lives within you. Paul said, I'm dead. The life that I live now, it's not me anymore. It's the Lord Jesus living through me. And that's what it's going to take for you to have victory over that anger. But God will enable you to do that. But it's going to take your willingness by faith to step out. And it's difficult, and particularly if you've been battling anger for a long time, you know how difficult it is. And that's why maybe you have given up but it's worth it. That's why I wanted to remind you how powerful that victory will be. The impact that that victory will have within you and on those around you and on your testimony. That's why I wanted to remind you that it's possible. So that you would be willing, and I would be willing to step out in faith and allow God to work in us and through us, that we might have victory over Satan's attack in this area as he seeks to bring those things to our hearts and minds and into our lives, which bring that hostility and that anger to a boiling point or a seething point. Let me give you several just practical things that I'd like to encourage all of us to do. The first one is somewhat broad, but the first one is something that we need to do consistently before we find ourselves in the situation that makes us angry. The first thing is this: prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. It's not like you don't know it's coming. It's not like that you don't know you're going to have problems. You're going to run into things that are going to frustrate you. The other day we were having a birthday party for our daughter Anna. It was her 16th birthday. And in the short little window of less than 30 hours that she had between getting back from China and leaving for Arizona, we packed in a little birthday party. And so that afternoon, as we were getting things together, I was doing my responsibility. My wife, she had her stuff, you know, down. I mean, she was spot on with everything for her. But of course, I'm, you know, a little bit behind, but that's okay because I can catch up, right? Sure, I can catch up if the grill doesn't break down. But the grill breaks down and all this chicken to cook and then the ice cream freezer. Why do my son's ice cream freezers work and mine doesn't? Something's backwards here. They're supposed to have the ones that don't work. Come borrow it from me, but the other way around. And I sensed, even as I was meditating on this, I was sensing the frustration that was building up. You know, I should have known that was coming, right? Something was going to happen. Or maybe it's a person that makes you angry, that frustrates you. You know it's coming. Prepare yourself. Think about it ahead of time. Prepare yourself spiritually. We encourage it. We talk about it. We assume it. But we need to realize again and afresh the importance of daily being in the Word of God and not just reading the Word of God quickly in the morning and going off and forgetting it, but bringing it to our minds during the day, staying in constant communion with the Lord. And you say, I know that. I learned that when I was like 3 days old in the Lord, Mark. But we need to practice it. We need to be prepared spiritually. We need to be trusting God that He will enable us. We need to have that eternal perspective to see things from God's viewpoint and not get so caught up with whether or not a grill is working and what's going to happen if the chicken is 15 minutes late or we don't get to eat ice cream tonight. It's not the end of the world. Life will go on. And then we have to be prepared emotionally. Emotionally. Knowing that it's coming. Seeking to be just practically wise and not allowing ourselves to get overstressed if we can help it. Being on guard. Knowing that when we're under stress, that fuse is a lot shorter. I don't care how long your fuse is. When you're under stress, it's a lot shorter. Seeking to be aware of that. Avoid situations when you can. And then being mentally prepared. Again, expecting there to be things that rise up. Having a biblical attitude toward your rights. That's a lot of our problem. Somebody offended me. They cut over in front of me in the lane. Don't they know what they're doing? Is that something really to get angry about? I mean, honestly, from God's point of view. Is it that? Maybe that's an opportunity this God is giving me to thank you, Lord, for protecting me from that idiot. No, Lord, thank you for protecting me. And Lord, work in that man's heart. maybe doesn't know you. Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me rather than getting angry? Really, in the Lord Jesus, my rights are very few, aren't they? Because I've given it all up to Him. And this life is not what it's all about. Rather, I'm living for eternity and what kind of impact I can have here. So many things are inconsequential. So many things that we get angry about, they really don't matter. And as I find my security in the Lord Jesus and I recognize my citizenship in heaven, I can go beyond that. So first of all, prepare yourself. But what if you prepare yourself and then you get in the situation and something's and you still feel that sense of hostility, which often you will, no matter how prepared you are? Well, let me give you several other things quickly. First of all, watch yourself. Know your buttons. Know those things that cause you to get frustrated and that bring anger up within you. Be honest about yourself. Years ago, when I worked as a counselor at his mansion in New Hampshire, one of the senior counselors, she had a little illustration I thought was really good. She worked with the ladies, but I remember her talking one time, and she was talking about a conversation she had overheard. And here's how it went. The one person was talking about he and a conversation with another person. It went kind of like this. I'm going to use blah, blah, blah. Well, I said, blah, 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 blah. And he said, blah, 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 blah. And I said, blah, 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 blah. And he said, blah, 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 blah. And she said, that wasn't how it went at all. They were both going, blah, blah, blah. But you see, oftentimes we don't even realize what we're saying, how we're saying it. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. And then catch yourself. When you see yourself getting angry, catch yourself before you react. All through the Old Testament, as we see the anger of the Lord, what strikes me most, what is greatly emphasized, is that the Lord is slow to anger. Is slow to anger. Watch your speed. Check your speed. And when you see the red light of anger, imagine a blue light coming up behind you. Because whenever you see a blue light, first thing you do is check your speed, right? First thing, you don't look at, what if my registration's out of date? No. No, you check your speed. So as soon as you sense any anger, any hostility, any irritation, check for the blue light and pace yourself and say, I want to be slow to anger. I want to catch myself before I react. And then express yourself, not to the person, not to the grill, not to the ice cream freezer, or to the edge of the bed where your toe hit. Don't express yourself to those things or those people. Express yourself to God. Pray to God. A prayer like Peter prayed, Lord, save me. Confess your struggle. You know what you're battling. Ask Him for wisdom. And you might say, Mark, you are crazy if you think that when I stub my toe that quickly, I'm going to see a blue light and I'm going to stop and I'm going to catch myself and I'm going to pray. But that's the goal. That's the goal of being slow to anger and yield yourself. Yield yourself to God. As an instrument in His hand, that's what you are. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are an instrument in the hand of God. And how do you want that instrument? You want it to be ready, appropriate for His use, with your anger controlled. And then direct yourself. Direct yourself. How do I need to deal with this? Maybe someone does need to be confronted. Here in the same chapter, chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul speaks about speaking the truth in love. And there are times that person has angered us, or a situation has angered us that someone has input into, and it may be that we need to have a plan to go to that person when we're not angry and discuss it with them. Maybe we need counsel. Maybe we need to go to a trusted friend in Christ and we need to share with them the struggle that we're having and ask for input from them. Ask for prayer. And then maybe we just need to cut it loose. Maybe my plan needs to be I need to drop the charges against that person. Because in the light of eternity, it really doesn't matter. In the scope of God's view, it's really inconsequential. And whether or not I get back at that person should not be the issue anyway, because the Scripture tells me that vengeance belongs to God, not to me. And if I catch myself, and I pray, and I yield myself to God, and I step back, and I make a plan, my plan very often will be, let it go. Let it go. Not just stuff it down. Not act like nothing happened, but just still let it go. Not taking offense. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. A wise person is slow to anger, and a wise person, his glory, her glory, is that they don't have to get angry. They don't have to take an offense at everything that happens, or even most things that happen. Wouldn't that be a worthwhile goal for each one of us this week? How many transgressions can I overlook? How many can I overlook? I challenge you to do that this week. How many transgressions can, instead of getting angry about, rather you will overlook? And then finally, this is going to catch you by surprise. Be yourself. You say, what? Be yourself. Be who you are in the Lord Jesus. Be who you are according to verse 24. Because you have put on the new person, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, the believer in the Lord Jesus, that's the real you. Yes, the battle is going on between the flesh and the spirit. Yes, there is a struggle, but you have that ability by the Spirit of God as you yield to Him to let the life of the Lord Jesus be lived out through your life. That is who God wants you to evidence yourself to be. And what is that like? Well, verse 31 tells us what to put off. That bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. Put all that away. Wanting to hurt other people and clamor. Making a big stink about something that happened to you or to me. Being angry. Being mad. Being bitter. Those are things we want to put away. And the way that we do that, in addition to these other things, is what we put in their place. Because to overlook a transgression is one thing, but to put something in the place of my anger is the key. And that's what we find there. We see the character of the Lord Jesus. Be kind to one another. Be kind. An act of kindness. When someone angers you, when something brings hostility up into your being, try to do something kind as a response instead of getting angry. Being compassionate. Being compassionate. Trying to understand, again, why that person might have cut over in front of you, or why that person may have spoken like that to you, or why your boss may have done what he or she did, or why that family member can't seem to get it. Maybe we need to be a little more compassionate. Maybe we need to be a little more understanding. And then forgiving. Instead of holding that against that person, instead of letting that anger come out toward that person, rather that we would be who we really are in Christ, we would be ourselves and we would forgive that person. I came across a quote that I really appreciated. It says, when you forgive, you set the prisoner free only to realize that you were the prisoner. Bruce Goodrich was being initiated into the cadet corps at Texas A&M University. And one night, Bruce was forced to run until he dropped. But the problem was, when he dropped, he never got back up. Bruce Goodrich died before he ever entered college. And a short time after the tragedy, Bruce's father wrote a letter to the administration and the faculty and the student body and the Corps of Cadets, and you may imagine what could have come to his mind to write about his son. Here's what he wrote. "I would like to take this opportunity to express the appreciation of my family for the great outpouring of concern and sympathy from Texas A&M University and the college community over the loss of our son, Bruce. We were deeply touched by the tribute paid to him in the battalion. We were particularly pleased to note that his Christian witness did not go unnoticed during his brief time on campus." Mr. Goodrich went on to write, "I hope it will be some comfort to know that we harbor no ill will in the matter. We know our God makes no mistakes. Bruce had an appointment with his Lord and is now secure in his celestial home. When the question is asked, why did this happen? Perhaps one answer will be so that many will consider where they will spend eternity." That man called himself. That man directed himself. That man yielded himself to God. That man was prepared, and he dealt with anger in a way that was in line with who he is in the Lord Jesus. It's an attack of Satan, and he's going to use it today, and he's going to come against you this week. But we have the keys, and I encourage you to go back to that passage in Ephesians 4 and to meditate on those verses, particularly those last two, and ask God to remind you and to bring to your mind. I'm going to give you just about 20 seconds alone with the Lord, and we'll close in prayer. And then again, I encourage you to consider these things as our brother plays a number on the organ, on the piano. Father, we thank you that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. You have made it very clear in your word the ways that he works against us. And Father, we know from these anonymous cards that were turned in that he is using anger in this local assembly. He is coming against our brothers and sisters. He's coming against us. And Father, we thank you that you recognize our frame, that we're but dust, and you also have made it possible for us to have victory. Father, this is a very difficult area for many believers, and yet it is possible with you. Father, we pray that we would consciously this week catch ourselves. Father, that we would yield ourselves to you, that we would be prepared. And Father, that we would put away bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking and malice. And Father, that you would enable us by your Spirit as we yield to you, that we would truly be kind and compassionate, and that we would forgive one another even as you in Christ have forgiven us. Father, we pray one for another. We pray for those who don't know you, that they will be convicted of their need for the Lord Jesus. And we ask these things, thanking you, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.